webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Kline online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Kline online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, August 18th, 2010. The only first night of the Summer Pledge Drive 2010 in the history of the Gospel Revolution. Welcome in on this midweek edition, a very, very special night on a number of accounts. Glad to have you along with us. I'm webcasting from the west coast of the United States of America, where it is beautiful here in the San Diego region. We're via the GKO studios in Tampa Bay, Florida, where Sean O'Halloran is waiting to take your calls and pledges. And we go directly to the home offices of the Gospel Revolution in beautiful Houston, Texas, with the president and founder of said revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Brother Glenn. I'm already taken off of one of the things we're going to be doing tonight, but you know, we've just had a good, real good dose of religion that's been delivered to us, so we're going to have a fun time sharing about that. But it's just good to be here with Glenn Kline.
Well, I appreciate that very much as I continue my sojourn here in Southern California with my son Jake. But tonight is all about you beautiful humans and about this effort to get the gospel out, to see people freed up from religion and legalism and condemnation and guilt and weirdness. And we had a beautiful example of it today that came across our computer screens, which we will talk about momentarily. But before we do, we want to stress the fact that this is night number one of the Summer Pledge Drive for 2010. This is our opportunity to ask you guys to help financially with this effort. You know that we're moving forward, but we can't do it without you. And so here's what we're doing. Over these 21 days, we have two major goals in mind. Number one, we want to increase the number of participants. The last one for the spring pledge drive, we had a record number of participants. Even though we did not hit our financial goal, we had the most people we ever had participate. And so that kind of caught our attention. And so for the summer pledge drive here, as we are in the waning weeks of the summer, our initial goal is to have 100 people participate in this effort in some way, form, or another. We've already had 3 people, so we've got 97 people yet to do. And it doesn't make a difference how much you give. If you give $1, you're going to be counted towards the big 100, as we're calling it. 100 people we want to participate financially over these 21 days to get us to our goal of $10,000. And that, of course, is significantly down from where we have been in the past, but we are making adjustments to the financial and economic realities that are out there. And so we're going to try to raise $100,000 in total, either in one-time gifts or in
pledges. Whoa. Wait.
What? Say that
you
again, Michael?
We're going to be raising $100,000. Maybe you're prophesying now.
Did I say 100,000?
You most certainly did. Go, Jesus.
Oh, I had the comma in the wrong place, beautiful human. It's 10,000. That's what.
Oh, and then I don't even want to do the podcast.
So if everybody who was part of the 100 would give $100, that would reach our $10,000 goal. But it doesn't make a difference how much you give. All we're asking you to do is give something. And the $10,000 total is in one-time gifts or pledges that can be spread over 12 months. Now, we've got two categories as well for thank you gifts. If you give $100 or more totaling, one-time gift or divided over 12 months, up to $199, you're going to receive Mike's brand-new teaching that recorded in Houston, Don't Offend the Grace of God. That's for gifts of $100 or more to $199. For gifts totaling $200 or more, you're going to receive that teaching, Don't Offend the Grace of God, plus the 11 CD series from the Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary, Romans Revealed.
Whoa.
Or if you've already got Romans Revealed, you can substitute for another series. What we need you to do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on Please Donate, make your donation, and then email us what you did at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your shipping address so we can send you out your thank you gifts post-haste. That'll be free and postage paid, webcast@gospelrevolution.com to let us know what you did. So thus far, before we are even really rocking and rolling in any kind of way, we've got Ken Kemp, who from Vancouver, who's chimed in with a $250 gift, which we thank Ken very much for. So he'll be getting both thank you gifts, Romans and the Don't Offend the Grace of God teachings. We got a $100 contribution from Cincinnati's own Greg Ambergy, so he'll be receiving the new teaching series on Don't Offend the Grace of God. And we have Pat Saladin from Wisconsin, who has made a $500 matching pledge. So that means for the next $500, every dollar that you give will be matched by Pat up to $500. So before we even are 5 minutes or so into this first pledge drive, we're at $850, Michael. That's a good start.
Yay, that's almost 10% of the way there.
Mm-hmm.
No, not 10%, but now I'm putting my decimals in the wrong place.
What are you doing?
I'm not figuring right is what I'm not doing, so let's move on.
Yes, I was going to say, $1,000 would be almost 10% there.
There you go, yes.
So, all right, so here's what we want you to do. We want you to get on the phone, give us a call with your comments, your questions. Hopefully we'll have some comments as we go forward on this particular webcast, especially in light of what has come to light today. Sean is waiting to take your call at 1-800-436-3260, taking your pledges, your calls, your questions. We're going an extra 30 minutes tonight, guaranteed. We always do on the pledge drives because even though we realize we do not speak for 30 minutes about our financial situation, we don't want to shortchange anybody. Obviously, the webcast is normally without any financial requests at all, other than these wonderful commercials we've been playing from Robert Moore the last several weeks, which you will continue to enjoy. But these 3 weeks, once a quarter, we do ask for your help. We can't do this without you. We need your help. This effort is built. The responses that we've had today, based on what happened today, which we're going to, again, talk about momentarily, is very, very important to a lot of people. But we need a lot of people participating. So we're asking for you to do that tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Or if you do not care to call, just go to gospelrevolution.com. Click on the Please Donate button, do your best, and then email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com to let us know what you did and so we can count it towards the goal. And for those that are giving between $100 and $200-plus dollars, we can get your thank you CDs out post-haste. All right, so here's a big question, I guess. Where to begin with this? I guess we'll tell the story. How about that?
Yeah, you know, the first thing that I knew about it was a phone call from Pat Saladin. So let's start there.
All right, so Pat calls you, and our good buddy Girma Colston found a video, almost a one-hour video, that was produced by a couple of gentlemen that you are familiar with.
Yes.
And their names escape me. Please inform the beautiful humans of their names.
Alan Spiegel, who
yes.
was hosting the event, and Jim Richards, who was his guest on this show, on this video.
Right. So these are two guys that are talking about the fallacy of total inclusion or ultimate reconciliation or universalism. You know we hate those kind of terms because we like to stick to the scriptural terms and the biblical terms as much as possible. But those guys were attacking universalism. And so Girma found this video, sent it to Jeff. Jeff posted it on YouTube and then found, or excuse me, on the, it was already posted on YouTube. He posted it on the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution Facebook. And then Jeff found a blog that we sent out with the link, by the way, so that people could watch the thing in its entirety, unedited. And I think this would be a really good place to start, Michael, because the blog, or the section of the blog that addresses you specifically, was sent out to everybody. And for those that haven't seen it and are hearing it, I'm going to read it right now, and I think this will be a good launching off place. So this is from the blog criticizing Mike specifically and the teaching of the gospel. They say, one of the well-known modern-day proponents of universalism is Carlton Pearson. I met personally with Carlton when he first made his exit from the faith. According to our discussion, his subjective reasoning seemed to peak when he held his newborn baby in his arms and said, I would never send my child to hell if he did something wrong. That very statement and the doctrine that Carlton had been preaching made it clear he already had error in his theology. But even if God would do such a thing, who are we to say to the potter, you can't do it that way? It was Mike Williams who introduced or finally convinced Carlton Pearson to the doctrine of universalism. Mike was a longtime friend and associate. He is a man I loved deeply and grieved for as he made his departure from the faith. Mike came from a life of homosexuality, and at the time he turned to ultimate reconciliation, he had fallen back into an immoral lifestyle. As his life degenerated, his message grew more and more compromising. As someone close to Mike said, you always know what Mike is going through. He always preaches his life. And that's true. Mike's doctrine changed every time his life changed. When he couldn't get grace to work in his life, he simply changed his doctrine of grace. Like many, he developed circumstance theology that justified his own life. This is a common tendency among those who lean towards permissive doctrine. They need a, quote, revelation, unquote, that justifies their failing life. Michael, my question to you, based on this, I have many questions, but
really?
Have you been, and are you leading a failing life?
Well, I don't think so. I have, I had my guest here from Australia, and I think the thing that is that I'm so amazed about all the time is the absolute peace that's in my heart, and you know this, Glenn. I mean, we share every part of our lives with each other, even private things that I would never talk about publicly. And but the thing that I also that you also know about me is this incredible place that I've come to as a result of the gospel of contentment, of peace, regardless of the circumstances. I'm not sure how Jim Richards, who has not spoken to me in probably a decade, and was the one who refused to speak to me, was the one who broke the friendship. It was not me. I continued to make calls, and Jim would not return the calls. Even though Jim has told the story quite the opposite to that, that he's made numerous attempts to, that he made numerous attempts to try to call me, which just absolutely didn't happen. And also this amazing, drastic attempt to save me from this doctrine I was leading to, which we never had a controversial, discussion about anything except the chastening of the Lord. He disagreed with that. And the other thing that he was vehement about was the tithe. And that really was where Jim broke ranks with me. When Jim and I met, I tell you what, you talk about a breath of air for me. I was understanding grace. I'd known the gospel of peace. When I met Jim, he did not know the message of the gospel of grace or the gospel of peace. In fact, Jim awarded me a doctorate in the gospel of peace that was given to me at their school there in Huntsville, Alabama.
Wait a second. This guy who has taken his time and his ministry to directly criticize you, to say that you're leading a failing life and an immoral life, he awarded you a doctorate?
Yes, a doctorate in the gospel of peace. And he said that the reasoning for that was that they did not know anyone who had pioneered the understanding of the gospel of peace as I had. That was their opinion. I didn't know. This was the situation. I learned from Jim righteousness. We used to go on walks together that were the most blessed things at the time that had happened to me, because Jim introduced me to understanding righteousness by faith. I was introducing to Jim the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace in ways that he had not understood before. So we had these exchanges, and of course, with the teaching and understanding of the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace and righteousness, this was part of the foundation of understanding what I call the gospel today. Jim's departure from coming this direction was centered solely and completely around the issue of tithing. After he heard that I was teaching against the tithe, Jim, and I heard the tape, Jim got up and taught, and he said, "If you don't tithe, you may as well have a flag up over your house that says cursed." And so that was the departure. And Jim very wisely, though, I have to give him credit, Jim very wisely saw that this was going to lead to financial ruin for me. And it did. I mean, I lost, it wasn't just Jim who was speaking against me, not to my face. That never happened. Jim never tried to, quote, rescue me from my lifestyle or, quote, from my doctrines. Never happened, except in the cases that he and I had some discussion, and that was while we were still in communication.
He never questioned you about your sexuality.
Not one single time. Not a
even
single.
Though he claimed in the video and in the blog that he tried to rescue you from falling back into this immorality. So what you're saying is that this guy's lying.
Well, he definitely is lying. Now, he did not say on the video that he tried to rescue me from this lifestyle. He said he tried to rescue me from this doctrine. But he did neither. He did neither of those things. And he also told my friends in Canada, because they would approach him. Jim and I, when we taught together, it was really very dynamic. And I introduced Jim to Canada. Jim had never been to Canada. And I took him with me there and introduced him to the people there. And, of course, I was still visiting the churches. And when the issue about the gospel began to grow, that's when Jim began to collect the pastors around him, who, of course, did not want to subject themselves to financial ruin. And it was a choice on their part to stick with the doctrine of tithing. That was the whole thing. It was just the whole thing was around tithing, and they did not want to lose their income. And believe me, you know, if there was a motivation in my heart to justify my lifestyle, I could have done that and kept tithing. That's for sure. God knows they've done it, and continued on in grace. If I was wanting to justify myself and had self-interest involved in what I teach, I would not have departed from the doctrine I was in, because, as Jim says in the video, he has stumbled many times. Now, I don't know what he's stumbled at, but he has stumbled many times, and I'm sure he
right.
asked forgiveness and kept going. I could have kept doing that.
Let's talk about the specific criticism of the blog and the video, which
sure.
said that you changed your teaching based on what was happening in your life, and that once you realized that what you were teaching would not allow you to live the life that you were living, that you embraced the full reconciliation of the planet. How do you address that?
Wow, there's nothing that ever happened more upside down to this than that. Because of what I was learning, I was able to accept the truth about myself. It certainly was not the other way around. I started seeing and understanding the truth of the redemption of the world, which the reason Jim leans so strongly toward the term ultimate reconciliation is because we had friends in Canada that were already into ultimate reconciliation. So, you know, and I had a meeting with them, and so we discussed all the ultimate reconciliation, and virtually every one of my friends there dropped their views on ultimate reconciliation. I said, because I pointed out to them, if it took place, it took place at the cross. So they were saying that people were going to die and possibly go to hell or whatever, and then ultimately, millions of years from now, God's going to bring everything back. So it did pique my interest, and I started studying this to help them, and I began to realize that there was truth in their ultimate conclusion. It was just that this totally, ultimately took place at the cross. And so that's the reason that he leans to the term. And it shows you how little he knows about what I actually teach. He hasn't
right.
listened. He has not listened to a single teaching tape I've done. Now, just like Jim said in the video, he hasn't changed a thing he's taught since he started. Now, we used to hear Kenneth Hagin say that. I preached the same thing for 50 years, I hadn't changed. Now, Jim doesn't agree with Hagin at all, but there's supposed to be some pride that you never change your mind. Proverbs says, the man that doesn't change his mind is a fool. I change my mind all the time. I change my mind all the time. Even to little nuances about the gospel, I will see something a different way than what I thought it was. And I let people know, I see this differently now. Now, the big picture doesn't change anymore, which I'd be totally willing for the big picture to change. But it's just not there. So that's the totality of what they were addressing. I think the big picture is, if you stop and draw back and look at this, now, Alan Spiegel and Jim Richards, you got to understand, for these two to be sitting together is one of the oddest things that I've seen happen, because it hasn't been more than 3 years ago, Alan Spiegel was on the phone with me, and I can't even repeat on the air what Alan Spiegel said about Jim Richards. I wouldn't even do it.
Just out of common decency.
These guys have to work this thing out for themselves. Jim would have nothing to do with Alan at the time. And Alan's church was failing, gone through a divorce. I don't remember the circumstances. There was something that happened between he and his wife, and they were going through a divorce. To my understanding, that is what happened. He was losing his church, and he was reaching out. And we'd have the conversation on the phone. I don't remember the conversation in detail. I just remember it was a very good conversation. We had a good time talking. But the crux of the conversation was his dislike for Jim Richards, because Jim had done him wrong. Jim had done people wrong. Jim was doing the people in his church wrong. Jim was preaching grace, yet living a very legalistic life and carrying out a very legalistic ministry. And that was just, that's the good things. That's the things I can say publicly. And so now, I tell you what, a common enemy makes strange bedfellows. So here now, so I was thinking as I was watching this, now why would these two guys make me the enemy here? Why would they do that? If you watch the entire video, and we encourage everyone to watch this entire thing.
You know, that's one of the things that I love about our efforts. I don't know anybody that would post unedited on their Facebook, on their website, on their emails, a critical expose of the person that is the spokesperson for the effort. We have nothing to hide. As we've said on many occasions, this effort is without a doubt. We're scandal-proof.
Yeah.
Because it's not about us in any way, shape, or form. We are not holding up a standard of behavior. We are not holding up a standard of morality. We are holding up the standard of righteousness that was procured through the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago plus. We've got nothing to hide. This excites us. This energizes us. We emailed the segment of the blog that was critical of Michael. We sent the entire link to the whole video out through our email address. It's on our Facebook. It's on Mike's personal Facebook. Michael, I love it.
Yes, and I want, see, the thing of it is, Glenn, I am so convinced that the gospel is so real. I don't have a position to defend. But if what I am saying is true, people ought to be able to see the absolute, and forgive me for my description of the video, which the only thing that I could respond to, and here they are addressing my sexuality, and so I guess because they were addressing my sexuality, this is the response that I have. This is nothing more than mutual spiritual masturbation. These guys are stroking each other's self-righteousness to the nth degree. They are affirming each other's, not the righteousness of God, but how much more righteous they are than me. Now, here's the whole crux of the matter. Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel have determined and have deemed themselves to be more righteous than me by the blood of Jesus. Now, I don't have any other righteousness but the righteousness of Jesus. I agree with Paul. I gave up my own righteousness for the righteousness which is of God. I gave mine up completely. I present no righteousness to God whatsoever. Zero. I present no righteousness of my own to God. God has presented his righteousness to me. Now, what I want people to do is to listen to this, because there is no greater antithesis to the gospel than what you will hear on this one hour video. Now, the culmination, if anybody were to take a critical look and say, whether these guys know it or not, what is the overall overreaching, overarching theme here? The overreaching theme is,
we need to keep this organization together because we need jobs. Now, believe me, a few years ago, that was Alan Spiegel's largest concern because he didn't know how to do anything else. But obviously, instead of going the way with the gospel, he decided to stick with religion so he could build a means to have an income. Now, I am being criticized, and my motives are being criticized as to why I embraced the gospel. I am telling you, I don't believe what these two gentlemen are saying on this video is the gospel in any way, shape, or form. Zero. I think it is the most anti-gospel thing that you could possibly hear. You gotta understand, folks, just because somebody allows the word grace to come out of their mouth, just because they allow the term gospel of peace to come out of their mouth, it is understandable in its application to the heart, not your circumstances and not your moral behavior. How dare Alan Spiegel sit there 50 pounds overweight and condemn me? How dare him? And then sit and talk about how powerful grace is in your life to change your morals, to change you. I don't preach the grace of God to change you. I preach the grace of God that says that its impact on your heart is powerful. You can stay fat if you want to. It has no bearing on the emphasis of God's grace in our lives, because the emphasis of God's grace, first and foremost, is what Jesus did for us at the cross, which is absolutely for the entire world. So here again, it gets to the point where it's at nauseam that the John Hagees who bounce on their stages, fat falling everywhere, and condemning everybody else on the face of the earth. Now, Alan Spiegel, Alan, I don't care how fat you get, brother. Stay as fat as you want. God doesn't see you any differently, even though Jim's doctrine would disagree with that. And Jim's doctrine would condemn you for being 50 pounds overweight. Believe me, I've said in conversations with Jim as he has condemned people who were overweight. And believe me, Alan, you are not left out of that condemnation. That is absolutely for sure. Now, here's the thing, though. I want to conclude my summation of all of this with this observation. I disagree with these men totally. But the difference in my conclusion is this. Because of what Jesus did, even in spite of their insane doctrine, their absolute diluting the blood of Jesus to that of the blood of goats, less than the blood of goats, even in spite of their using the name of Jesus for usury to do nothing but build an organization and keep people forcefully tithing and giving, even in face of that, let me tell you something, guys. Jim Richards and Richard Spiegel, or Alan Spiegel, you are holy, you are righteous, you are perfect in the eyes of God. You will never face a judgment day, as Jim so fervently teaches. There was a judgment day, and that was the cross. Jesus said very clearly, now is the judgment of this world. Jim, you can sidestep and dance around the gospel all you want. You are wrong. You are wrong. You cannot. Now, during this entire one-hour extravaganza of supposedly bringing clarity to the truth, not one single time did either man do anything than quote one single verse out of context, followed up with a bunch of platitudes and hyperbole, and Jim's own threshing of what he calls wisdom. Not even referring to the scriptures at all. Number one, even embracing what the Bible says the scriptures are. There's no place to begin on this. It is maddening to hear this stuff because
all right,
it is.
Well, one of the things that these guys criticize you for, and then by implication, Carlton, And by the way, they gave you more credit for getting Carlton out of legalism or out of Christianity than Carlton gives you. But that's a whole issue aside.
Yeah.
When we return to the Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive, we're going to address a question or an issue that these guys posed about how Michael rips pages out of the Bible. When we come back, this is Glenn Klein online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Spring or Summer Pledge Drive 2010. We'll be back in a minute on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the third annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
You got to hear it to believe it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Robert Moore. It's Glenn Klein online. It's Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive 2010. You can download, but what we're asking for tonight are contributions. And we have not received one since we've been talking, but that's all right. We are three people in to our goal of 100 participants during this 21 day. We've had Greg Ambergy, Ken Kemp, Greg from Cincinnati, Ken from Vancouver, Pat Salonen from Wisconsin. We're at $850. We want to hear from you for gifts of $100 to $199. You will see, receive Mike's brand new teaching, Don't Offend the Grace of God. And then for $200 or more, whether it be a one-time gift or spread over a monthly payment, for 12 months, you'll receive the 11 CD series, The Romans Revealed, that Robert was just talking about. And so just go to gospelrevolution.com, click on Please Donate, click a total, and let us know what you did at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your shipping address. It's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. So we can include you in our goal as well as send you out the thank you CDs. Please include your shipping address. So we're talking about this video that was revealed to us today by Jim Richards and is it Alan Spiegel?
That's correct.
Okay. And one of, and by the way, the phone lines are available to you. Sean's waiting, 800-436-3260. We've gotten so many emails. At this point, we just might have to just compile all the supportive emails and the incredible comments that we've had today and send it out in an email, because I don't know if we'll have time to get to them all. We may have time to get to some of them. But we would love to hear from you. If you're listening live right now, and it's about 20 minutes until 10 o'clock on the East Coast, which would be 20 minutes till 7 o'clock on the West Coast where I'm at, the sun is still up here in San Diego. That means you're listening live, and that is your cue to call Sean O'Halloran at 1-800-436-3260. Sean will get you on the phone. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. We love to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260 is the Glenn Klein online toll-free hotline. All right, so one of the criticisms of many that these guys had for you was that you just tear out certain pages of the Bible And you say that like stuff like the book of James, just you just don't agree with the book of James anymore.
Number one, I've never torn a page out of the Bible.
Okay.
And number two, let me address this quickly because I think it's very important. Number one, knowing Jim's recollection of conversations, I don't know exactly what was said or not said in his conversation with Carlton Pearson, or if it even took place. I'm telling you, the conversations he says he and I have had, they didn't take place, so I have room to question whether or not this one actually took place, because I know the ones he claims that happened between he and I have not taken place. And but I want to take that, because it does sound like Carlton to be, and I agree with Jim, that Carlton's persuasion was very subjective. And that Carlton, he led Carlton down this whole thing of a conclusion that I totally would have disagreed with Jim on completely. Because I have won people to Christ, to become believers in Christ, that Jim Richards will never reach. Neither would Alan.
That was a huge thing with them on that video. It was like, oh my God, people are not giving altar calls. When's the last time you gave an altar call?
And they couldn't understand, you know, well, we are all here Christians, you know. But, you know, and even the comment, so first off, let me refute any agreement with Carlton about his subjective theology, which I think Carlton's theology is subjective. He's basing it on, would God send somebody to hell? So I agree with Jim. Who are we to say if God was going to send somebody to hell, if God's going to do that, God's going to do it. We cannot look at it subjectively. There's not one thread of...
Let me just jump in here, Michael.
Yeah.
By the way, and for those folks that have been listening to this webcast, Ryle, you know that we have been critical of Carlton's perspective, and we were critical of Carlton's perspective to his face when he came to the convention in Houston in 2008.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we even questioned whether he was a Christian or not. And when I asked you if you, I asked Carlton first if he was a Christian, and he said yes, he was, only because of his background and his upbringing. And then I asked you if you were a Christian, and he said, and you said no, you weren't, and you explained why. Carlton then said that he might have to rethink his position on it based on what you said.
Yes. I think a lot, and I agree with Jim, that there's a great deal of Carlton's doctrine that is very subjective. I totally, totally agree with the fact that if the scriptures say it, it doesn't make any difference what I think about it. But see, that's what these guys can't get past, is it doesn't make any difference whether or not they like it or not. Jesus redeemed the whole world. Even Spiegel spoke up, and I don't know what time frame he said, but like that in a certain amount of time, there had been 39 million people go to hell. 39 million people, in whatever space of time he was referring to, had died without Christ, inferring that they were all going to hell. Do you know what Jim's response was? Huh. What? 39 million people went to hell? And Jim Richards, defending his doctrine, says, huh, wait a minute. I've got some things to say here. First off, guys, your conviction does not match your actions. I know you guys. I have been out with Jim Richards on so many trips you wouldn't believe it. Not Alan Spiegel. I've not been. Not one single time was I ever out with Jim Richards. Any place, in all the restaurants, all the places that I was ever in, did Jim Richards ever witness to one single human being? Now, it's convenient to give a, quote, altar call at your meetings. I'm not saying what Jim has done or not done out of my presence. I can tell you, Jim, in my presence, never led one single human being to the Lord. Now, guys, put up or shut up. if you believe 39 million people went to hell last week, what the hell are you doing sitting on a videotape trying to protect your empire? Why are you simply interested in whether or not people are going to be tithing, how committed they are? Wait a minute. Come on, guys. Get real. Stop talking about how much the impact of grace has and how gloriously it changes your life. Who cares whether it changes your life or not? Even you admit, Jim, it hasn't changed your life so much that you don't have, quote, failures and things you need to go fast and pray about to try to keep from becoming a part of your life. You're in a death struggle with yourself, for God's sake. Put up or shut up. Don't tell me you think 39 million people went to hell over a week's period of time or whatever it was that Spiegel put it in. I have been with you guys. Spiegel, I know you don't witness to people. Jim Richards, I know in my presence you've never witnessed to one single human being. Not one. I know you go on mission trips, but you raise money for that. I know that you have altar calls, but you raise money during the process of that. This whole thing of this 1 hour, if anybody with a objective view looked at it without a doctrinal stance agreeing with me or agreeing with Jim and Alan, if they had an objective view, it would have to be these two men are trying their best to protect the organization that funnels them money. Now, folks, let me tell you something.
And rightfully so. I mean, you know, they've seen firsthand from your experience what happens when you step out for the gospel. And this reminds me of our great Cincinnati correspondent, Greg Amberge, who's recommended to friends of his in the ministry who are contemplating the gospel and are coming close to receiving in their heart the reconciliation of all. He tells them, save your money.
Yep.
Get ready to get it, to lose your entire ministry.
Yep.
Because that is what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, Jim's recommendation to somebody who he had taught grace to as a minister, don't preach it for several years? You got to be kidding me.
All right, so what they were implying was that you are picking and choosing the scriptures and the passages. We know what the scriptures are, but when they talk about scripture, they're talking about the scripture, the actual law, the Psalms, and the prophets, as well as the New Testament commentaries and the writings. So when you hear that criticism, when people level that criticism on you, that you just pick and choose that which you will believe in and teach and follow, what's your answer to that?
It's a complete lie. I base everything that I believe to the best of my understanding on the scriptures. Now, the difference between me and Richards and Spiegel, who have become really good buddies suddenly, they talk like they've had this perfect relationship. That's the thing with Christianity. It always smoothes things over. It always glosses it over. You know, everybody in Jim's church is growing in grace and just doing wonderful. I've been there. I've talked to his family members that are in wretched conditions, mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, and every other way. There is no difference between the people who are in Jim's church or who don't go to church anywhere. This whole thing is just a facade. It's a paper dragon, folks. It is an absolute paper dragon. So you have this entire thing that is being operated and being funded all because two men. And hey, listen, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to not be able to do a thing else. The difference is, I admit it. Jim Richards, you don't know how to do anything else. Alan Spiegel, you couldn't make a living if you had to outside of doing what you do. I admit, there's no way in the world. I don't know how to do anything. I admit it. I admit that I come drastically short of the righteousness of God, that the only righteousness that I have is that which has been bestowed upon me, and that's through Christ. Whether it is Jim's recommendation that it is my faith that apprehends this, which is absolutely not there, or it has been bestowed upon me, either way, it's the righteousness of God. I don't have any other righteousness to stand by. And the whole issue of the scriptures, I wish these guys would just stop and accept what Jesus says. Why can't they accept what Jesus says the scriptures are? Alan, come on. You don't have to subject yourself to Jim Richards the rest of your life as you have so far. You can think for yourself, bro. Come on. What did Jesus say the scriptures were? Jesus said the scriptures are the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. Isn't it really weird that every time that one of the teachers, the writers of in the New Testament, when they make reference to the scriptures, it is either out of the books of the first five books of the law, the book of Psalms, or the prophets. Now, I know there's one verse out of Peter that seems to give instance that Paul's teaching is scripture. That's not what Peter was saying. Believe me, Peter never believed what Paul was saying was scripture. But he was talking about Paul's teaching on the scripture, and that Paul was actually, what it says is Paul was leaving scripture out of his teaching. He wasn't saying Paul's teaching the scriptures. He's saying Paul's leaving teachings out of the scriptures, which he believed, which Jim would agree with, was leading people to damnation. Let's at least, you know, Jesus said, you do err. You do err. Why? Because you don't know the scriptures. How in the world can you know the scriptures when you won't even accept what the very same man Jesus said the scriptures are, and what all of the teachers of the New Testament affirmed by quoting, in every instance, the scriptures? When I went through this, I went through every place where it was making reference, Glenn, to the scriptures. One had a reference to 2 Kings. I thought, you know, I can't say this anymore because one of them was quoting 2 Kings. I went to 2 Kings and realized that this was just the translator's edition, even though the quote was in 2 Kings. 2 Kings made reference to the scriptures, where the original quote came from. The other place is one in either James or Peter's letter, I can't remember right now, which is attributed to Proverbs. If you look it up, it's not in Proverbs. In fact, if you look up the quote, you won't find it anywhere in the Bible whatsoever. Those are the only two, quote, possible discrepancies that the writers of the New Testament agreed with Jesus that the law, the Psalms, and the prophets are the scriptures. But see, these guys won't even accept what Jesus says. They refuse. The very Jesus they say they preach, they refuse to accept what he says. He said that the scriptures were the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And the law, the Psalms, and the prophets aren't about us. The law and the Psalms and the prophets are all about Jesus. Yes. Now, if you watch the video, you'll see that these guys, it's all about them. It's all about what they do. It's about their righteousness. It's about how grace changes them, how well they are doing under grace, and how well they perform for God under grace.
At the end of the day, it's all about manipulation.
That's all I can get out of the 1 hour. Now, here's the reason that I wanted this video published on our page. There is no alterations to this. And people, let me tell you something. If you listen to me and then listen to Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel, and you have the slightest temptation to go their direction, please let me encourage you to go. I'm not trying to manipulate somebody's mind. Jim Richards will never play a full hour of my teaching to anybody. I will give you the full hour of this well-documented video and let you hear what Spiegel and Richards are saying. You decide for yourself. Now, they will not post a video of me or a one-hour teaching of mine. They won't post it anywhere. Why? You know, there's only one reason. They're afraid. Now, let me tell you something. When you believe something, you should believe it with your whole heart. Let me tell you something. I've been wrong in my life, unlike Jim, who has never been wrong in his entire life. Never once. Whatever came out of his mouth the first time that he ever preached has never changed in 40 years, he said. It has never changed. Now, let me tell you something. Everything that I have taught has changed over 40 years. I started in the ministry 38 years ago. Jim's been at this a couple of years longer than me. But I have changed my mind, and I am gladly changed my mind. I will gladly change my mind again tomorrow. All of this hyperbole and dancing around, well, it's become a doctrine. What the hell do they preach if they don't preach doctrines? They act like a doctrine is something they don't preach. They were standing there, they were sitting there at their little table defending their doctrines of guilt, their doctrines of condemnation, and the doctrine of judgment. Here's the thing, folks. If you want guilt, listen to them. You'll get all of it. Because along with condemning me, you're going to have to condemn Alan Spiegel for being 50 pounds overweight. Sorry, Alan, you can't hide it. You're going to have to condemn Jim Richards because he said himself that he has stumbled along the way and has to, quote, get back up again. You're going to hear that Jim Richards absolutely believes that judgment was not finished at the cross. I don't know who in the world would want to insult the cross like that. Jesus believed that when he went to the cross, that it was the judgment of the entire world was coming down on him. Now, they weren't standing there separating believers and non-believers and who deserved it and who didn't. When that cross went up, according to what Jesus believed, he said that the judgment of God was coming down on him for the entire world. The world was about to be judged. See, here is the thing, and I will guarantee you with every question that I would give Alan Spiegel or Jim Richards, they would have to come up with a yes, if, and, but, or maybe. I'll guarantee you, if I ask them who is going to heaven, they will tell you explicitly, you have to be a believer. But I know that Jim Richards don't believe that babies are going to hell. So Jim would say, but. And then I would ask him about retarded people. I know Jim. He's a good man. He's a kind-hearted man. He would give an exemption to retarded people. Then I would say, well, what about those who've never heard? I don't know what he would say about that because his doctrine, according to what he said, condemned everybody to hell that have never heard the gospel or made a conscious choice for Jesus. 39 million that Spiegel spoke of, and Jim said, huh. Now that's some reaction, folks. Let me tell you something. When your actions, as you talk about actions along with the gospel, when your actions and meet your convictions of your doctrines, I may be persuaded to stop and listen. I know you two guys, and your actions do not match your convictions, along with the rest of the Hagees of this world and the Pat Robertsons of this world. And it doesn't make any difference what name that you put with it. Your actions do not match your convictions. Now, maybe I'm helping you a whole lot right now. because maybe you'll get up off your ass and do something based on what you say you believe. You won't sit around and make videos that contradict somebody else. Maybe you'll just go win the lost. But obviously, you think doctrine is more important than winning the lost. Isn't that really what you proved? Isn't that really what you proved by producing the video, Alan?
Yeah, they produced and published on YouTube that entire video and never gave an invitation to receive Christ.
Not one
never,
single
here,
invitation.
Here they went to the effort of publishing this video, and they never made any kind of effort at all to have people who are hearing this and are hearing the so-called error of the teaching of the reconciliation of all, or what they would call universalism, which we would not call that.
No, absolutely.
But they would. They never made an attempt, as they haven't with you, to win them for Christ. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Summer Pledge Drive 2010. We've got a lot more to talk about. We've got a lot of good news. We've had, I would almost say, an overwhelming response online tonight in the giving. We haven't had anybody call yet, but a lot of people have emailed their gifts in, and we want to get to that. We want to get to your calls, too, at 1-800-436-3260. There's still 30 minutes for you to get in. We want to hear from you tonight. We've heard a lot about this. This has been absolutely energizing for us. The gospel is energizing enough, but when the gospel's attacked and assailed, as you've heard in past webcasts and in past teachings of Michael, it's our heritage to judge judgment, and that is what we will do. We'll be back in a moment on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
The incredible responsibility that we have as believers to speak up when the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets is spoken of as though they were nothing. I speak concerning the judgments that are spoken of by Peter in his writings, and I condemn them. Isaiah didn't say this is a rule, you got to do this. He said this is your heritage, that we should condemn every tongue that rises in judgment. And you should let no one stand and speak as though it is nothing.
That was Mike Williams in the new teaching series entitled A Scriptural Peace, recorded at the 2010 Southeast Conference, and is now available on the GospelRevolution.com website. This 5-CD series, A Scriptural Peace, can be yours for $40 plus shipping and handling. You can also take advantage of a special offer to download an audiobook version to your iPod or computer for just $20. For that download link, please email a request to freedom at GospelRevolution.com. That's freedom at GospelRevolution.com. A scriptural piece. Get your copy today.
You have a heritage.
Yay. Yes, you have a heritage, ladies and gentlemen. And we're happy
I
to share
my
with
heritage.
You. This is Glenn Klein Online. We are taking your calls now. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran waiting to take your calls. After all of that, we have to hear from you. We've heard from you via the emails, and I want to go over that right now because this is night number one of the Summer Pledge Drive 2010 for the Gospel Revolution. Jeff Robertson just corrected me. He said the video was not put out on YouTube, but it was published on Alan Spiegel's website. There's our CNN retraction.
He keeps us
straight. We are happy to report we've had many gifts during the course of the last hour. Our dear sister Tressa Martin in Spokane, Washington, has donated $200. Thank you so much, Tressa. You'll be receiving Mike's new teaching on Don't Offend the Gospel or the Grace of God, plus the 11-CD series on the Book of Romans, Romans Revealed. You'll get that. We had a $25 gift from Bob Hines of Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
So appreciate it. I also got a good comment from Bob. Richard Mull from Southern California in beautiful Garden Grove. He says he will match any pledge up to $200.
Oh, we have another matching pledge.
Right, you lovers of the gospel of grace and peace. I'm waiting. That's Richard in SoCal. So any gifts from here on out of $200 or more will also be matched. We've also got a $500 matching gift from Pat Salonen of Southern Wisconsin. So Southern California and Southern California chiming in on this first night of the Gospel Revolution pledge drive for the summer 2010. Michael, we have so many emails and so many cool comments. I've got to get to some of them. Are you ready?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. And folks, please do call. We're extending, as we always do on the pledge drive, at 1-800-436-3260. Sean's waiting to hear from you. If you're listening right now live, even if you've given, even if you've called before, even if you've never called before, even if you don't have a pledge or do have a pledge, we want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. This comes from our dear brother Jackie Barnard. And this is a little bit long, but I think it is incredibly, in fact, I know that it is incredibly powerful, and so many of you beautiful humans will relate to this as I do. Jackie wrote this apparently after seeing the email and the video today. He says, "It was not a conscious decision for me. I was a vicious, even venomous, hater of all homosexuals. I might have had some small amount of understanding for alcoholics and prostitutes, but I drew the line when it came to perverts, fags. Of course, I always committed their souls to the hottest part of hell in the name of Jesus. Then the gospel of grace and peace began to save my soul and renew my mind. Again, it was not something I consciously had to decide. I did not reason it out that since everyone is redeemed regardless of belief or behavior, that I have to love and accept gays too. The power of God insulated its ways present, the power of God insinuated its way presence into my life as by stealth and started recreating this man inside out. This is by no means the only area of my life that is being transformed by the gospel, but it is the most remarkable. Now, wait a minute. Let me tell you what is even more amazing. What is more amazing is the absolute admiration I now have for homosexuals. My God, in our American society, can there be a more courageous community? Gays, in my former way of thinking, were the weak, the benighted, the frail, and the unclean. Yet to face societal norms of friends, family, and church, and to just accept who they are is the purest courage. I cannot go back and undo the damage I caused during my judgmental church days. I cannot dwell in the past, but I have renounced my own righteousness. I know now that none of my attempts to please God ever amounted to anything except dung. Gosh, I did not mean to write such a long epistle. Let me sum up what I'm trying to say by telling you what happened to me just last night. There is a young man named Neil who works at the factory with me. We have been mutually courteous to each other, and I treat him like I do every new employee. Last night, I asked him if he would be interested in listening to a CD of my favorite Bible teacher. He said he would listen. Then I said that it might surprise him to know that my favorite Bible teacher was a gay man, and that I've been listening to his teaching for over 10 years. Neil looked up at me and said, "I'm a gay man too." At this point, I told him that I used to bash gays. He looked at me aghast and said he could not believe that I would have ever bashed anybody. It was one of the most poignant moments when I was even more shocked than he was. It was not a conscious decision. I did not pray to come where I am. I am just here by the grace of God. Finally, this is not my testimony that I once bashed gays and now I don't. My testimony is that the gospel is the power of God. He goes straight, and then in parentheses, good pun, from the heart. Straight from the heart, get it?
Well, Jackie, what an amazing
Jackie
letter.
Jackie Barnard.
Yeah, Jackie, after all of this, discussion about this horrible display of self-righteousness on this video and the claims of what grace will do to somebody's heart. This is what grace will do to somebody's heart. And I loved how he put it. He didn't try to apply the gospel and try to change, as Jim was speaking about, this desperate attempt to get grace to change your heart. As Jackie said, it was from Jackie, right?
Right.
Okay. As Jackie said, it was on stealth. Flying under the radar. He didn't even know it was there doing its job. But see, that is the power of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God, not your ability to apprehend it or do something with it. Just hear it for God's sake. But you have to hear it. And what Jackie has described is his simple hearing and listening to the gospel of grace and peace, not the gospel of grace, but not the grace of gospel of peace, and not the revelation of righteousness, maybe, but grace and peace and righteousness, unvarnished, no ifs, no ands, no buts, no apologies whatsoever for what God did. I don't have any apologies for God. God decided to redeem the whole world, and he did it. I refuse to call Jesus a failure. I refuse to do it. I'm not going to call him a failure, as Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel is so apt to point out to us, the failure of 39 million people, not by any choice of their own, just they failed to hear, went to eternity. This is what grace does to your heart. It doesn't sit back and determine how many people went to hell last week. It truly transforms the heart to where that you can embrace anybody on this planet, not pretend to embrace them, not sit back and say, well, we love, and I liked how Jim put it, he loved, past tense, Mike Williams. Let me tell you, Jim,
yeah,
I
whoa,
love
whoa,
you
whoa,
to
whoa,
this
whoa. Day. That's exactly right. He
yes.
said, I loved the man.
Yes.
He put it, he purposely put it in the past tense.
Well, it was
I
in the past
loved
tense.
The man.
And
you
let
know what
me
I
tell
have
you something.
Say to that? God damn that.
It
that
is damnable.
Sucks. Who are you to love somebody in the past tense and decide that you don't love them anymore based on a disagreement or a personal lifestyle decision as far as you would be concerned? Alan Spiegel, or Jim, who wrote that, Jim Richards?
That was Jim's comment. It was Alan
yeah.
Spiegel's video that,
that
he proudly...
That pisses the hell out of me.
Yeah. And thank God you can say it instead of couching it in all kinds of religious
mediocrity.
Oh,
my God. You loved him? You loved Michael? Well, I'll tell you something right now, Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel. We love Michael now. We love him as we speak.
As I am.
That pisses me off. I can't tell you. I mean, I could really get profane right now.
Let's not.
And you know I could. All right, so we got to get some more emails. We're coming against the clock. We still got time for you to get on the phone. 1-800-436-3260. Who is going to call tonight? We've got a lot of emails. We're up to one, two, three. We had a $25 pledge from Bob
awesome.
Hines in Atlanta, Georgia.
Thanks,
a $200
Bob.
Pledge from, actually, Tressa donated from Spokane, Washington, Tressa Martin. We had a $200 pledge challenge from Richard Mull in Southern California. That's three. Greg Amberge gave $100 from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's four. We had Ken Kemp from Vancouver giving $250. That's five. And we had Pat Selinen giving $500 in a pledge challenge. That's six. We're six on our way to 100. We've got 3 weeks to get 100 people to pledge something, whether it be $1 or $5 or $100 or $200 or $1,000. It doesn't make a difference. We're just trying to get to 100 people to contribute. And the response has been beautiful tonight, and we're very pleased, and we're very happy. I've got to read this email from Clifford Grubbs. Clifford Grubbs says, "Don't worry about these guys, Mike. They are drunk on the old wine. I wish they were able to read and understand English. What a circle jerk. Organized religion is beyond help." Boy, I'll tell you something, Clifford. Truer words were never written. Religion, whether it's disorganized or organized, Michael, it's beyond help.
It is beyond help, and that's the reason we're not trying to help Christianity. We are appealing to people to come out, to abandon this thing that supports the Alan Spiegels and the Jim Richards of the world, who, like myself, don't know how to do anything else. You know, the one thing that you'll never hear in this pledge drive is that if you don't give, there's a flag over your house that says cursed. Even back those years ago, that was jaw-dropping to me that he continued to make that stance about the tithe and this requirement that for the blessing of God. Does the blood of Jesus mean nothing? Is what Jesus did mean absolutely nothing to these people? They used the name of Jesus to build an organization to support their butts. That is what's happening, whether they want to admit it or not. That is what's happening. And the people who are not being influenced, you know, those people that accept grace, they get to where they don't want to do anything. What they really wanted to say is these people stop giving. That was the crux of the matter in their concern in this video, is that people stop giving. I know when people understand the grace of God, they stop giving because they realize they have been under this compulsion and this rule to give, and they need to prove to themselves that God being in their life, God and who, whatever he does and does not do, is not stipulated by the degree or the amount of money they give or don't give, because they've fallen to that all of their lives. These people need to know that they are free. This is the thing that Alan Spiegel is afraid of, that his little church, who's only giving enough to support his salary, and Jim Richards, who is doing the very same thing, that their lifestyles are going to be interrupted if they don't. Let me tell you something. I can't get past this. I know the ease in which Jim Richards lives. I know the ease in which he lives. I know the upgrades to their home, which is a beautiful old Victorian home. I love the place. I want it myself. I don't know if they still have it or not. It is a marvelous place. But if you believe 39 million people went to hell last week, why are you spending money on refurbishing one of the most beautiful places in Huntsville? I don't get it, guys. I don't get it. Anybody that talks about me putting up or shutting up, I put up. Let me tell you something. There is nothing about me that would cause me to be accepted by God. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. I have no claim to righteousness at all. I gave it all up. And my claim to righteousness. Now, you can accuse me of what you think I do and think I don't do, but the thing of it is that Jim Richards or Alan Spiegel nor anybody else on this planet, probably except Glenn Klein, knows what I do and what I don't do.
All right, well, they have accused you on this video and on this blog of being a practicing homosexual. Are you a practicing homosexual?
I don't need to practice. I'm good at it now.
You know, it is such a shame because these guys, as you said before, admit to their own shortcomings, whatever the hell that means, and their own failings.
Which
and
they will not tell you what they are.
That according to the scriptures, that any human characteristic at all is going to qualify for punishment from God, whether it be certain heterosexual behavior, certain homosexual behavior, certain skin blemishes, certain dietary considerations. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a freaking joke.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah. And here's the thing, I want to follow this up. Now, these guys are going to sit around and lick their wounds about what they hear on this webcast. Let me tell you something. The wounds that you have, from what I've said, is based on your own doctrines. I would never say that to somebody, that just like addressing Alan's weight. But dear brother, you need to be addressed about your weight. You sit in condemnation of anybody else on the face of this earth and sit there in obvious gluttony, 50 pounds overweight. Give me a break. How can you possibly justify such condemnation? The things that I'm saying to you is simply speaking back to you your doctrines in its context. If you believe what you're saying, why are you making a video about how to control your congregation and get them to give? Or get them to live a certain way? Why are you interested in how they live if your concern is for lost souls? So even if somebody comes to the Lord, you don't believe that that sticks anyway. So why did Jesus die at all? You guys don't believe anything about the blood of Jesus. Jesus is vapid and empty and impotent based on your doctrine. Because Jim thinks I'm now going to hell because of, quote, his terminology, a lifestyle choice. This is not a lifestyle choice. This is my life. This is my life. And I have no apologies to Jim Richards or anybody else about being a gay man. My apologies for being a gay man ended many years ago.
Hold on for a second. I'm a heterosexual man. By your own admission, you are a gay man.
Well, I can't help you in your heterosexuality. I'm sorry. You're just sunk. I don't know what to do for you, Glenn.
All right. Beyond that, as far as the scriptures are concerned, as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as the fulfillment of all things through Christ, is there any difference between somebody who has sex with the same sex and somebody who has sex with a different sex as far as God is concerned?
It is irrelevant to the gospel. It is absolutely. Let me tell you something. I got good news for Alan. Him being 50 pounds overweight is irrelevant to the gospel. It's completely irrelevant to the gospel. Let me tell you what is relevant to the gospel. And that is the little commercial we just played. Isaiah chapter 54 says that God has declared peace once and for all and will never see his anger again, no matter what Jim Richards says. Great white throne or judgments. His teaching does not exist in the Bible. He wove that together by himself. He is the one who explains the difference between the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. There's no teaching in the Bible about the difference between the two. Show me the page where it teaches the difference between the great white throne judgment of God and the judgment seat of Christ. That's Jim's made-up doctrine. It's his made-up doctrine, and he cannot defend it whatsoever. He can point where it says something about the great white throne judge. He can point where it says something. He can't tell you a single verse around it. Probably can't even tell you the chapter that the judgment seat of Christ is in, where the whole chapter, which I teach the entire chapter in context. But here we are, this chapter in Isaiah chapter 54, as the commercial brings out. It says that God has declared peace with the entire human race, and we will never see his anger again. What part of that do you not get, guys? It says plainly, and my wrath will never, ever be seen again because of the covenant of peace. What part do you not get? Do you know how that ends with that chapter? It says, and every tongue that rises in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Now,
I have got to do this. This is my heritage. This is my heritage. It's actually Jim's heritage, and it's Spiegel's.
Well, you don't have to do it, but you embrace your heritage.
I have to do it for my heart's sake.
You've embraced the process.
Absolutely. I embrace this prophecy, so I am compelled from my heart, not by God.
Right.
I am compelled from my heart to do this.
Right.
Jim Richards, I condemn your foretelling of a future judgment coming from God in the face of the cross of Jesus Christ. I condemn your teaching. I condemn your explanation of the difference between the great white throne judgment of God and the judgment seat of Christ. If you ever read it in context, you would see that the judgment seat of Christ is the cross. There cannot be another judgment. God would have to violate his own word, which is in the scriptures. The scriptures, hello, the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, where God said, once he declared peace at the cross, Isaiah chapter 54, he said, I will never be angry with you again, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Why don't you get it? Why don't you? I tell you why you don't get it. Because it means relinquishing control over people's lives. That's why you don't get it. That's why you still have to preach judgment. That's why you still have to, quote, warn people about something that Jesus totally satisfied. Isaiah says that God would see the suffering of Jesus' soul and be satisfied. Jim Richards, you may not be satisfied with the suffering of Jesus' soul, but God Almighty is satisfied with the suffering of Jesus' soul. Now, Alan, I know you've gone on along with Jim like a little puppy dog after this because you needed somebody to support you to get your church built back up. Let me tell you something. You don't have to follow in kind. You can stand up and be a man on your own. You know what the gospel is, Alan Spiegel. You know what it is. And you can stand up and refute this crap and stand up and share with your people what the truth of the gospel is about that they've been set free, not that they need you to be free, not that they need to implement grace somehow upon their lives. Jesus set them free, not you, not your teaching, not your doctrine, not your pastoring doesn't set somebody free. Jesus has set people free. Our glorious ministry, as you so aptly, totally disregarded the ministry of reconciliation, that now that Christ has reconciled, just because we have a ministry of reconciliation, you totally discount the reconciliation that God was in Christ reconciling the whole world? All it's saying is that now our ministry is to let people know that. That's all. Now, you poo-pooed it. You acted like it was coming out of the mouth of an imbecile, but you're going to have to talk to the prophets. You're going to have to speak to the prophets as though they were imbeciles, because there's not a single prophecy that says God was sending Jesus into the world to give them a chance. The prophecy don't exist. It doesn't exist. God said through the prophets that he was sending Jesus into the world to redeem the world. Now, that does not support your church. I agree with you. It doesn't support the organization that supports you. But it's you who built that organization, and it's you who have to make the choice as to whether or not you're going to believe the truth or continue doing something that is doing nothing except providing you with an income and the ability to do nothing. Because I know you guys, and nothing is what you're doing. Oh, I know. I know. Oh, you support missionaries. Oh, yes, you send off money. But you also make money off of those missionaries. You make money because you make people believe that you're out converting the world. And if you're doing some great noble deed, as though that Jesus failed so badly, he must have you to come in and fill the gaps for him. Sorry, folks. I don't believe that God needs Jim Richards or Alan Spiegel or Mike Williams to come in and fill in the gaps where Jesus failed. I refuse to believe that 39 million people went to hell during the span of time that Alan Spiegel spoke of in the face of the cross. Not subjective teaching, as Jim aptly pointed out. We should never believe something based on subjective observation. Just because I can't believe that God would send 39 million people to hell doesn't mean he couldn't do it. Agreed. But what about the scriptures, guys? Come on. The scriptures say that God sent Jesus into the world to redeem the world. What about that do you not get? Why is that so threatening? I have led people to the Lord who were atheists, scientists, and Buddhists who would never listen to you a moment in their life. They have believed in and accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of as the Lord of all. Now, he was the Lord of all before they ever accepted it. You see, you teach a doctrine that doesn't exist. You tell people you have to make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. And there's not a line in the Bible that says you have to make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Doesn't exist, guys. What do you do when you give your altar call? Do you do like Joel Osteen and offer people the chance to make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior? If this is true, why do you have to make comments that aren't even in the Bible? Why? Why don't you quote something that exists? Because you're not going to find anywhere that it says, oh, I know you'll make excuses for it. I know you'll make up something and say, oh, well, it actually, if you read it this way and that way and stand on one foot and hold one finger in the air while the wind's blowing, it means this. Then if it says it, say it. There's no place that says for your altar calls that an individual must make Jesus their personal Lord and Savior. The scriptures say that God made Jesus Lord of all. How dare your insolent self-righteousness to declare that you or anybody else could make Jesus Lord. God made Jesus Lord. And when you lay down your self-righteousness, you will realize this. You will realize this. This is a call to repentance. Repentance meaning change your mind. This is a true call. You want me to give an altar call? My altar call tonight is for Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel to repent. Change your mind about this horrible degradation that you do to the cross with every breath that you take by insinuating or saying directly that the work of the cross is completely subjective to man's decision and will. Talk about subjective. Come on. Jesus died for the sin of the world. Subjective observation, Glenn. Subjective observation. Subjective observation. But you have to make him Lord. It requires something from you. That's totally subjective. Why would you make the work of the cross subjective? It is not subjective for me, for you, or anybody's doctrine, anybody's church, or to support anybody's organization. There's nothing subjective about the gospel. And you make it completely subjective. Yes, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. And 39 million people went to hell just in the last week. Come on, guys. Get off it. Make something of your lives other than this disappointing circle of madness that you've created just so that you can support yourself. I know what it's like to need to support yourself. But come on. If you say that these things are true, act like they're true, because you, Jim Richards, do not act like it's true. You go to sleep at night while people are walking up and down the streets in Huntsville, dying and going to hell by the second? Oh, I know, you can't do everything. You're doing it by teaching others to get them to do it. Sorry, that doctrine don't exist. That commandment is to you. If you believe this, how dare you find a comfortable place to lay your head? how dare you, gentlemen, to find a comfortable home to continue to renovate and continue to build up to be a palace in description. I'm glad you got a great house. I've got a decent one myself. It's an amazing story, but I got one myself. Nowhere near anything that anybody would think that was grand. But I'm comfortable. But you know what? I don't go to bed at night here in my home thinking that 39 million people went to hell and sleep comfortably. I go to bed and sleep comfortably because I know Jesus is Lord. I know he redeemed the entire planet 2,000 years ago. I know that as I share with people that their understanding is going to save their soul, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the words of speaking the gospel is going to do what it did for our sweet person that Jackie that wrote in. It's going to transform their soul to be people who are embracing of others instead of condemning of others. I am not condemning you, Jim Richards. I am not condemning you, Alan Spiegel. I am condemning your doctrine as far as I can condemn it. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Because I know where my righteousness comes from. You think yours comes through your performance. Oh, I know you would disagree with that, Jim, right out of hand. But somehow you trip your way right back around to that you have to do something. You have to respond somehow. Hey, listen, I am all for anybody improving their life. But let me tell you something. My improved life does not validate the scriptures. My improved life does not validate the gospel. My improved life does not validate the blood of Jesus Christ. My improved life does not validate the covenant of the blood that God sealed by himself without my help, or yours, I might add. Guys, let me tell you something. I know I've gone off the chain here tonight. I have no apologies. This is the very thing. Thank you so much for publishing your video, Alan. Thank you so much, because there is nothing that I have seen in ages that demonstrates the desperate need for the gospel to be shared, that even those of you who claim to know grace, like yourself, Jim, and like Mr. Prince, who took grace enough to make a lot of money out of it, and you, Alan Spiegel, who embraced the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace enough to turn it into something lucrative. When you're able to teach the grace of God to the point where you let people go, not embrace the gospel of grace and peace enough to put people in bondage, I will believe you are preaching the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace. Until then, make your videos. Show us how ignorant the belief of this vapid, unexplainable gospel was, so filled with ifs, ands, buts, and maybes. You don't know who's going to heaven and who's not. You can't give anybody any assurance whatsoever. You have your altar call. You tell them to confess Jesus. I've been there, Jim. You tell them, oh, you're on your way to heaven now. Oh, hallelujah, you're on your way to heaven. Oh, hallelujah, you're on your way to heaven. Oh, but then comes the ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. And I'll guarantee you one of them will be centered squarely around tithing. Squarely around tithing. There's been no impact in your life. You're not giving 10% of your income. That's the number one impact that you guys are looking for. That is the number one impact. Let me tell you something. We'll have a pledge drive over the next 3 weeks, which I have no apologies for at all. And I will appeal to people to support this. But you know what? People either will or they won't. Now, Pat Salonen, let me tell you something, guys. Pat Salonen listened to you and heard what you had to say. It sickened her so much, she called up and gave $500 to the promotion of the gospel. Now, anybody else, if you listen to this video, if it turns your stomach, let me tell you, hey, I found a way to raise money. This is it, I guess. This is it. still on? Okay, I'm still on. All right. This is it. Pat Salonen, thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. You listened to this bunch of garbage, and it made you realize how important, as though you don't already know how important the gospel is, but you heard this garbage, and it caused you to call me on the phone. And bless your heart, you and your husband. Oh, I know that you guys are living this big sinful lifestyle because you've heard grace. Jeez. To what degree will these guys go? To accuse everybody of everything who embraces the magnificence of the completed work of the cross. What else do you want? How much do you want? How much tithing will it take, guys, until you're satisfied? This week we'll either raise $10,000 or we won't. One of the two. But thank you. You've helped. You've helped. Because all the things that I could possibly say to point out to people, the difference between this lousy-ass grace that you speak of, that means nothing, does nothing, did nothing, will do nothing except make you a good church member. That's all. I hope people do listen to you. We're publishing. Alan, all of the people who would have heard your website, you know how many people visit your website. Let me tell you something. We have a lot of people that visit my website.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. We have people from literally the four corners of the world.
Yes.
And then are listening, whether it be live or on the archive, literally in Australia, in New Zealand, in Hong Kong,
yeah,
in Africa, in Europe,
oh,
in South
absolutely.
America, in North America, all over the United States, all over Canada, and
yeah,
we have promoted your ministry, Alice,
yes, we have.
And Jim Richards.
Yep.
And we would appreciate a comment of thanks. And I'm hoping the man, the legend, you know him, you love him, we can't live without him, Germa Colson, will make Jim Spiegel and Alan, or excuse me, Jim Richards and Alan Spiegel aware that we have taken the better part of 90 minutes, the better part of the first night of the spring or the summer pledge drive, to address their concerns. I hope somebody, whether it be Germa or somebody else, makes them aware that we have promoted them via email and the video. We have so many comments, Michael. We have so many Facebook posts. It's been overwhelming tonight. There have been people that have given, that have gotten us well over 10% of our goal of $10,000 on this spring. I don't know why I keep calling it the spring. I guess because it seems like spring in San Diego to me.
There you go. It's subjective.
But it is the summer pledge drive. And all I have to say, folks, as far as the details of what you will receive and thank you gifts, listen to the archive if you don't have it by now. I want to thank Jeff Robertson for being the administrator,
yay,
of the Gospel Revolution. And for all his help and his comments, and for Sean O'Halloran engineering and producing this webcast. Michael, I speak for thousands of people around the world when I say I love you.
I love you. And I, you know, the awesome thing is I know that. And I totally believe that. And, you know, this is an amazing little group. I admit that this group is small. But the hearts of the people who have allowed the gospel to embrace them and fly stealth in their heart. My. I don't even know what to say about them. It's unbelievable. Nobody tells these people what to do. Nobody tells anybody how to do it. But they're doing fine. They're doing just fine. They got the problems that everybody else in the world has, and they deal with them. But you know what they don't have to deal with? feeling like they failed God or that they're under some form of judgment or punishment that they don't have to deal with.
That is our hope, ladies and gentlemen, right there. And referencing Jackie Bernard's email earlier, Jeff said, thank God for a sneaky virus that hacks into the soul. The gospel of stealth.
Yeah,
stealth, ladies and gentlemen. And I can, and you folks that have listened to this webcast, you know that my story is very similar to Jackie's. And I concur with Jackie, Michael, that you are amongst a community that is, if not the most courageous, amongst the most courageous in American society right now. And we support you, we love you, and we can't wait to do it again in 1 week's time. Until that time, please be in touch with us at gospelrevolution.com. This is Glenn Klein online saying,
go, everybody!